He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Friday afternoon here in studio. It's the Friday before Halloween for those who are keeping count. I hope you are getting into a spooky mood as we are careening to a Halloween night potential for everyone who's going to enjoy that trick-or-treating fun. That's going to be a week from tonight. Of course, we are excited to have the treats that is the sports commentary world, and the sports world abound in terms of what is going to be going on this weekend, including Fresno State football, including the World Series, including Friday Night Lights, including the NFL weekend, and all of the above are going to be fantastic things to talk about here on the show, and we can't wait to get it to you here on this wonderful, wonderful Friday afternoon. It's 3:03 on the dot. Good to have you. Can't wait to dive into everything on the show. But before we do so, big thank you to Tony D, of course, the Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430, always live from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on 1430. You can listen to it live on demand on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website, and you can listen to it live on the 1430 ESPN Fresno app. So be sure to tune into there. Get involved in the conversations as well on our social media pages, ESPN Fresno, all the places where you can check in there as well. So plenty to dive into on this wonderful Friday afternoon. We have the Lee's Air Hotline, which is the way you can reach our show. The Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. Once again, 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for you. And, of course, with the Lee's Air Hotline, we have also have Lee's sponsoring the Weather Check. And the Weather Check looks at a very, very comfortable 77 degrees as our high today. We're about as high as we're going to get today. Game time temps for most teams in the Central Valley and Friday Night Lights looking at around 69 degrees, maybe a little partly cloudy. The clouds are potentially going to be rolling in here. It's going to be a pretty overcast afternoon tomorrow for your Fresno State Bulldogs, including that 12:30 kick, looking at around 68, 69 degrees in the daytime for you out there. 64 is a high, and we'll be sitting in those low 70s for a little bit before we may climb back into the 80s by next week. So keep tabs on that for you out there in terms of maybe a slightly unseasonable start to November next week. We'll see. Should be a perfect night for trick-or-treating for the kids out there next week, though. Like I said, it's a great afternoon to get involved in all the sports talk out there. Of course, we're soon to be streaming live here on ESPN Fresno platforms, the YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, all of that great stuff. Always, you can watch the old shows there as well. They're recorded for your own convenience, so always be sure to check in over there if you ever want to get involved and watch the show in an on-demand fashion as well. What are we going to be talking about today? I just kind of listed it all. There's a bunch to dive into with all the sports that are going on out there, including the NFL, including Major League Baseball, including college football, including high school football. We'll dive into it all in these rapid 2 hours that we're going to get to. 2 hours, yes, folks. 2 hours is all we got before we have to sign off, say goodbye. I'll be heading on over to the to Collegian Stadium for a kickoff of 7 p.m., 6:30 pregame between Central East and Clovis High. Can't wait to bring it to you there. Excited to dive into the topics. Paul Metters will be joining me in around 4 o'clock as well, so be sure to tune in there when Paul Metters will preview the high school slate tonight. But we start with a conversation I want to get into in terms of the World Series tonight. That's right, little World Series action. Game one, that's going to be over on 790 between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. The Blue Jays, of course, the team that I feel like I think outside of L.A. and outside of some areas here in California, feels like the Blue Jays are the team that a lot of people would want to root for. Of course, that is the natural human instinct of rooting for the team that I think is conceivably, understandably, the underdog in this one. Although the Blue Jays have a better record going into it. They have the home field advantage. And I wonder if this is going to be, could it be one of the all-time World Series in terms of it? Hard to put a label on it when we get into that factor, but can't wait to see where it all plays out. And, of course, it's a big statement tonight because if you fall behind in this series to the Dodgers, feels like advantage Dodgers officially. So tonight feels like a must-win for the Blue Jays. Every game in the World Series is a must-win game. In my idea, there's no if, ands, or buts about that. And I think tonight's going to be an interesting battle between two teams that I think share pretty similar characteristics in terms of using the home run to get ahead in these baseball games, using the pitching to lean on it. I would give advantage Blue Jays in terms of maybe the bullpen per se. I would say these teams maybe advantage to the Dodgers so far in the starting pitching and how those two teams have looked. And then in terms of the lineup right now, conceivably it's been a little bit, I would say, on even keel in terms of the caliber of the leadoff hitter. I know Shohei is one thing, and I know George Springer is another level, but conceivably right now in the playoffs, both players are playing about the same caliber that they have. We'll see who steps into that in the middle of the order side of things. You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. has been as on fire as anybody. The thing that the Blue Jays, of course, are going into with is momentum in from only having played about 2 days ago, 3 days ago, back on Monday. The Dodgers have had to wait around for an entire week before they are back seeing baseball action. So we've seen some statistics in the past where teams have had prolonged waits in the World Series before they get back going again. It does not bode well in terms of that team that has waited for quite some time. The Dodgers are that team, so they'll look to buck that trend in terms of it as well. So very excited about tonight's World Series. Can't wait to get into it. And I'm sure with some commentary on it as well. My producer is in, who's, I think, settled in now for the show. Jorge is here for the next 2 hours as well. He'll be running the game tonight for us as well. Jorge, how are we doing on this Friday?
We're doing good, Phil. We're doing good. I think it's, you know, it's Friday. It's it's a day where it's almost the weekend, so it's one of those, you know.
You are dying to get to the weekend. I can tell, Jorge. You've had a week.
It's been, really, it's been a long week.
Yeah.
Even though it's just been 5 days.
I know, man. You sound like you need a break. I can tell already. You need a break. You need to just relax. I know you wanted to go to the game, but I know you're going to be busy tomorrow doing some heavy labor. So I think maybe you're dreading that. That's what's making you tired this weekend.
Well, you got to help out friends.
Of course.
You got to help out friends because sometimes you're going to need some help, and they're going to help you out. So, you know, and he's one of my good friends. So, you know, I can't say no when he asked me for something. So, you know, and it's something that I could do.
Jorge is helping a friend move tomorrow in terms of that's the labor he's talking about. For
It won't be a whole day thing, but it definitely I'm definitely going to miss like half of the game.
You got an earbud in. You just listen to the game or watch the game or have a TV sitting around by the loading truck.
No, I'll have it in my phone.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Keep an eye on it. Keep the beers flowing too. You know it's fun moving and drinking, right?
Is that the move? That is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is moving close to our place, so I could, you know, it won't be long till I'm home and then I could really drink.
Is it a lot of unloading out of the house to a truck to unload into a? Is it a whole one? Because there's a whole process to moving.
I think because he doesn't live in a large house, so
yeah.
So I think it's
there's
just,
no stairs to contend with.
No, thank goodness. So it's that's the. I think it's just like the major like couches and stuff like that. That's mainly what he needs help with.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There you go. Good luck to you on that tomorrow. Should at least be relatively cool. We love friends that move in the late winter. Yeah. To the friends who move in the summer, screw yourself. It's just you're no friend of mine. That's what I got to say. Maybe there's a whole maybe my whole theory, landlords love to make leases end in the summer because everybody knows they don't want to move in the summer. So landlords know they want to avoid moving in the summer. Why not renew the lease? You're more incentivized to renew the lease, Jorge, because you dread moving in the summer. That's why summer's usually is the time when leases end, right?
That's right.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because my lease ends in late September.
My conspiracy theory out there of what landlords do?
Well, the good thing about my landlord is when I moved in was he just said, yeah, you can move in the whole week. He gave me a whole week for it. So I was slowly, every day I would take one or two things. Made it a lot easier.
I think there's a whole psychology to it. Why landlords make the leases end in the summer. Because you just don't want to move in the summer. So you might as well just renew it, right? You don't want to move. Come on, renew here. Give me your money. It's easy, right?
Landlords, man.
They know the business. Hey, I'd be a good landlord. And by good landlord, I'd be a shrewd landlord. anyways, another part of the conversation tonight. World Series tonight, Jorge. Game one. Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you about this matchup in the World Series, Blue Jays versus Dodgers?
I'm a 6.
Yeah.
I think I was really going for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And when they lost, I kind of even though I'm not against the Blue Jays, but I feel like, it's okay if they win.
The Blue Jays? I mean, it's more than okay, I think, for you, right, if they win. I think that's the only thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to be okay when the Dodgers win, right?
Yeah, they should lose.
Yeah. I know who you're rooting for. You got the bias to it. It's interesting, the conversations around this thing, because it's going to shape baseball where it's going to go, right? Because I think all of this World Series is going to represent is the idea that teams – are they afforded to go for it in order to win a title? Is the only way to win a title is by spending the most amount of money as you possibly can? And where is that in the negotiating table of how the players and the owners are going to spend that when it comes to the CBA negotiation in a little over a year from now? And I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic to it. I'm not going to say this result is going to be the end all be all, but being at the fact that the Blue Jay or the Dodgers have a chance to win a World Series back-to-back for the first time since those Yankees went back-to-back, and everybody knows how hated those Yankees were. Everybody knew how money bags the Yankees were in terms of that. I'm not saying a CBA was disrupted because of the Yankee business practices, but I would imagine there was some considerable conversation about how to make the level playing field be what it is when those Yankee teams were dominating back in the 90s. But I think the sport adjudicates itself. I think the sport litigates itself. It's a battle between, I think, two very interesting opponents. I think it's very close between these two teams. I think a lot of people feel like the Dodgers are playing better baseball going into it. But I do think the style of baseball is conducive to the Blue Jays, where I think the Blue Jays are a little more aggressive than most teams out on the plate. They love to put barrel to ball. They don't really like grind at bats other than when they swing the baseball bat in terms of fouling off pitches, going after pitchers in terms of the aggressiveness. I mean, Springer, ALCS game one, went after first pitch dinger to go up 1-0 in that game. It's a classic. I think it's going to be a classic tale of whether the team that can bloop and blast can beat the team that can blast and blast, basically, on the other side. So I'm intrigued. I'm at a 7 or 8 right now in terms of the interest level of this World Series. It's not nearly to the level of Dodgers-Yankees. last year, which had everything surrounding it. I'd say we under-delivered in that World Series in terms of it, but I knew what the Yankees' flaws were. I don't think the Blue Jays have as many flaws as the Yankees did last year, and I think the Dodgers are considerably more vulnerable than last year's Dodgers, who felt like world beaters in terms of it. So, and parts of the evenness, I could definitely see this game going six or seven, this World Series going that way. I would have a hard time believing this could go a sweep in either direction. Jorge, six or seven games, does that feel like a written side of things? Do you feel like there could be a sweep in this series, or where do you stand?
No, I think there'll be a sweep. I think the Blue Jays are strong in their own stadium in Canada. I think that they have the power to make, you know, games that seem to be, you know, out of hand to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a competitive series.
Pitching-wise, the Dodgers have pitched very well so far. Do you believe pitching can carry over in a long drought, like long layoff like this, or do you feel like the Dodgers are in trouble in that sense?
I think they might be in trouble, but then again, they have some of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell. It used to be that, you know, nobody wanted those long layoffs, but nowadays – it feels like some of these teams won the more time,
yeah,
to get you know just a little bit more comfortable with themselves.
By the way, Bo Bichette's back with the Blue Jays in this series. He was injured all playoffs, and so Bo Bichette returns at second base. That's going to be an interesting wrinkle as well. See what he's like after injury. Do you think that's a boost, Jorge, to the Blue Jays and maybe putting it over the edge for them?
I don't know if it's a boost or I mean, you were doing well with what you had, right?
Well enough. It took you seven. You really were on the edge of losing to that Mariners team. You were down two in the seventh inning.
I feel like as long as he's in rhythm, you know, I think he should be good.
He had a knee injury back in early September. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out for the Blue Jays in terms of it. Quickly, we'll go to predictions here now because it's a show of predictions tonight in terms of the next 2 hours. So why don't we go predictions for this World Series before it gets going over on 790 at 4 o'clock. Official World Series prediction for me. Jorge, why don't you go start real quick? Who's winning?
In
how long?
My prediction?
Who wins? How long does it go? And who is your World Series MVP?
We're going Blue Jays in six.
Blue Jays in six.
My MVP will be Vlad.
Vlad? It's easy.
I think that's probably what a lot of people have.
Yeah. I have Blue Jays in seven, and I have George Springer as my MVP. Because the dude just shows up anytime he's in a World Series for me. So I got George Springer winning a World Series MVP. It's going to be a classic seven-game set. I can't wait.
You know what I read the other day?
What?
That the last time the Blue Jays were in the World Series, the Bills went to the Super Bowl.
Interesting. Well, then I hope that's not a trend that continues. Because my Patriots are playing very good football. So, no, kidding aside, that'd be sweet to see Josh Allen make a Super Bowl eventually. He's been due. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the Benatti Blitz. That's right. We're going to pick all the games from this next week of football. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Well, we got time to pick some football games today in terms of the Week 8 slate. By the way, props to Jorge last night. Totally saw that one coming in terms of the Chargers' absolute demolition of the Vikings last night. I found that interesting watching the Vikings, the way they played Carson Wentz getting as frustrated as he ever did in terms of it. But in terms of how he's played. It was interesting to see him throw his helmet, kind of throw a temper tantrum in some form or fashion. Did you watch any of the highlights? It seemed like Carson Wentz was like a one man, just he was a dead man walking, and the Vikings didn't give him any ounce of help there last night.
A dead man walking. I did also see Justin Jefferson just look out of it. Like, mm-hmm. his whole entire game just,
yeah,
like, why am I doing here kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe for just because of the weapons that the Vikings have, but it just the defense and with the Chargers was just on top of it, you know, so.
Great performance for the Chargers. Good on them to bounce back. They're 5-3 now, and on a pseudo bye before. Where do they go next? Where do they do? Let's take a look real quick. They head on over to Tennessee, so that seems pretty nice. And then they got a nice Sunday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So conceivably 6-3 going against Pittsburgh. They're one of those really late bye teams in terms of it. So. Yeah, their bye is still in 4 weeks away. So, and the Chargers are one of the teams that definitely could use it. All right, Jorge, let's do the Benatti Blitz. Are you ready to pick some games, Jorge? You ready to put your money where your mouth is?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Why not?
Why not? Let's do it. Looks like I can't do this normally, so let me do it this way to get our music rolling. There we go. Ah, yes, week 8. 6 teams on bye. My fantasy team's in shambles, but it doesn't matter because we got football. And coming up on Sunday, our first game we're picking, it's the Miami Dolphins at the Atlanta Falcons. You know how bad the Miami Dolphins are down right now in terms of the way they play football? It is borderline conceivable that Ohio State could beat this Miami Dolphins team on a football field in that classic, could a college team beat a horrible pro team? I would love to see it. Atlanta, really good run game. Miami, really horrible run game. Atlanta, good against the pass. Miami, horrible at passing the football. I don't see it any other way. The Atlanta Falcons will win over the Miami Dolphins. Book it. Them up 7.5 as a favorite as well.
All right. I would take Miami on this one.
Really?
And just because of the way that the Falcons looked last week against the Niners. I think it showed that they were vulnerable and their flaws. And I think if anybody's going to catch them, it's going to be this week.
Miami's the worst team in football, Harry.
Is it? Worse than the Browns?
They just lost to the Browns.
Oh, that's true. that is true.
Got you there. Next up, New York Jets at Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Flacco went and beat Pittsburgh on a Thursday night, and they had a pseudo bye week to get through the Thursday night game. Joe Flacco told a tale of how he saw a man alone at a bar and said, man, that must be really lonely. And then he thought about it after a while and said, nope, you know what? That man must be in heaven because he likes to be by himself. And that is the tale of a married man in terms of what Joe Flacco is doing. He is reminiscing. He is fun to conceive as a story because the guy has insight through and through, wise and beyond his years. You know what's not wise and beyond the years? Anything that involves the New York Jets. And the Jets will continue to be winless. The Cincinnati Bengals will win and cover 6.5 points this weekend.
I'm with you on that one. I think that the Bengals have, you know, they're a little bit better than the Jets. And they have more talent. They need a quarterback, and I think they find that in Flacco. So, yeah.
Next up, the Cleveland Browns taking a trip to New England to take on the Patriots. Patriots, all they do is win, baby. All they do is win. They haven't been home in a month. Three straight road games that they have played. They're good to be back in the friendly confines of the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. 7.5-point favorites. The Patriots are playing phenomenal football. Drake May can just throw it all over the football field right now. The Cleveland Browns can't throw it 2 yards past the line of scrimmage right now. Every indication tells me the Patriots should be favored and favored by a lot in this football game. Good teams continue to beat bad teams, and the Patriots are a good team, and they will beat a bad team like the Cleveland Browns. Give me the Patriots to win at home comfortably.
I will take the over. Yeah, I'll take the Patriots.
Yeah, you were. Don't you dare. Don't you even dare.
Yeah, I just think they're just a better team.
Next up, the New York Football Giants taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. We just saw this game literally 18 days ago, I would say, in some form or fashion, or at least in my – hold on, let me do the math. 15 days ago for us, it'll be 17 days ago since they last played on a Thursday night. Jackson Dart, Cam Scadaboo were phenomenal in that game in the Meadowlands. The Philadelphia Eagles looked like they were about to explode in terms of how that core was looking and how frustration was amounting in that locker room. Not anymore when you throw deep balls on the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see if it fixes that thing. I will go Philadelphia. It's hard to beat a team twice in 3 weeks. So give me the Philadelphia Eagles to win. Not cover, though. 7.5 points is a little too heavy for me. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles to win close.
I think Giants could.
I don't know. I literally don't know.
I don't know either. One game they're you know really good. The other game, they're not. They're kind of look like the worst team in the league. So I don't know how they're gonna come out. I feel like the Eagles should have this easy, but then again, I'm not sure. So I'm gonna go Eagles, but like you said, close.
Next up, Buffalo travels to Carolina. The Bills coming off of the bye week, and are they gonna improve what they are seriously suffering in, which is a lack of commitment to stopping the running game on defense right now? You want to know who is top three in the NFL in rushing offense right now? Yes, those Carolina Panthers are an incredible run-based football team. Matchup issue potential in this one, but you got to believe Josh Allen and the crew will find ways to move the football on this Carolina offense, or excuse me, on this Carolina defense. It'll be a close game. It'll be going down to the wire. It is certainly not Buffalo by 7.5. Buffalo will win on a game-winning field goal in Carolina.
Panthers have the same wins as the Bills.
They do.
Who would have said? Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought?
I'm going Bills, but like it's gonna be a close one. Panthers are not that bad, or at least not as we thought at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, Bills.
Bills will win, but it'll still create question marks around that team, especially when they got the Chiefs next week. Next up, Chicago at Baltimore. The Bears travel to the Ravens. The Ravens will have Lamar Jackson back. Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite despite being 1-5 and a considerably worse record than what the Bears are coming into with 4 wins in a row. But the Bears, we know, are a paper tiger per se. They are the Mexican milk snake, I've heard, in terms of the coral snake versus the whatever other snake. The black and yellow versus
the coral?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's the Mexican milk snake. I only say this. I watched Pablo Torre this morning. They were talking about it
sure.
In terms of anything. Whatever.
Sure, why not?
Regardless, a snake that looks venomous, but it isn't actually venomous, is the Chicago Bears. I think Baltimore will get back to their offensive ways. Derrick Henry, look out. Big potential game here for the Ravens. If they lose this, John Harbaugh, hot seat? We'll see. Ravens.
1-5.
Ravens got to win, and they will win over the weekend.
I don't know if they're gonna win. I think I'm gonna go with the Bears on this one. Ooh, I think this is another loss by the Ravens, who are not clicking in any form. I think having Lamar Jackson back might help, but at the same time, it might not, because I don't know how, if he's 100% or not. So I'm gonna go Bears.
All right. Next up, Niners at Texans. Niners just came out and said Ricky Pearsall out. They just said Brock Purdy out. It's Mac Jones again in the quarterback position. I said I had concerns about this game in terms of the pass rush. Houston, top three in defense right now in terms of the way they have thwarted opponent offenses out there. Turnover machine, turnovers galore in that game last week against Seattle. Really, the defense in some ways kept them somewhat floating water in that football game. The Niners cannot make mistakes on the road, and this is a potential of a trap for the Niners, who are 5-2 and feeling good, even though their injury woes continue to get a little more dicey. Bryce Huff, who knows if he can play in this one. I just simply watch what Houston does on offense, and I simply cannot have faith that they will move the football down the field against anybody in this National Football League. I think this will be close. I think this will be tight. I think the Niners will win. Why don't we give Eddie P. another game-winning field goal to take it? Give me the Niners here. I don't feel great about it, but give me the Niners.
We'll also take the Niners. And I think if the Texans play like they did on, you know, against the Seahawks, I think we should be fine. You know, I think the Niners have a good defense that could, you know, be the deter the Texans offense. So,
The
Niners.
Oh, yeah. Anybody can beat the Texans if it was one-on-one there with their offense and anybody. One of the worst, least innovative play calling I've ever seen in my life. Next up, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Injuries aplenty for the Tampa Bay Bucks suddenly. No Mike Evans for the remainder of the season, potentially. Emeka Ubuka seems to be okay. Baker was even a little shaken up in last game. He looked a little uncharacteristic in missing his targets against the Detroit Lions. We'll see what that matters against the New Orleans Saints. I think this game's close, though. I think the Saints are competent at home, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think this is a closer game than people think. Divisional game on the road. There's always issues when it comes to what Tampa, anybody who's good that goes on the road against an inferior divisional opponent, it's never a given. I'd like to pick New Orleans here at an upset. I'm riding this Tampa Bay Bucs team, though. They should win, but it'll be closer than you think.
A divisional opponent that's, you know, NFC South. So I think it's going to be tougher than it looks for Tampa Bay. But like you said, I think they're going to win. Just not a wide margin.
Next up, Dallas at Denver. Who likes points? I love points, and I love watching this one potentially at 125 on CBS. This is going to be a massive matchup in terms of fantasy implications, in terms of seeding implications. The Denver Broncos, who I would say salvaged some pit of their season by scoring 33 points in the fourth quarter in that mad, furious comeback against the New York Giants. Certainly, you would believe Denver is going to have an evenly spread offensive output against this Dallas defense that can't seem to stop anybody. Although, I think they had a nice few moments against Washington last week. But Dak Prescott has been absolutely, I would say, a top-tier quarterback this season. Dare I say, maybe the best-performing quarterback so far this season in the National Football League. I don't see how this ever stops going Dallas's direction in terms of the offensive end. I think this is a high-output shootout. I think this is going to be one of the games of the year. I will go with Dallas to win on the road in Denver.
Cowboys are 3-3-1.
Yes, they are.
That's a weird. So, I think I'm gonna go Broncos on this because they're at home. I think that's gonna change a little bit, and I think that's gonna, you know, I don't feel like the Cowboys are strong away.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, being away from home is gonna be their demise.
Bold prediction, Jorge. Bold prediction from me. Brandon Aubrey will break the record for longest field goal in this game.
In that altitude?
In that altitude. 68 yards. 68 yards before the half. He will break the record.
My kicker is, right?
Brandon Aubrey?
No, for fantasy.
Will Lutz?
Yeah.
Nice. There you go. Next up, Tennessee at Indianapolis. The Colts are good. The Titans are not. I don't know if there's any other analysis out there for you. Colts are favored by 14.5. The offense is one of the best in the National Football League. The offense is one to continue to enjoy watching. They are a serious football team. The Tennessee Titans are not. I don't know what more to say. The Colts are going to roll in Indy and beat the Titans for the second time this year.
It almost feels like it's too good to be true. Like the Colts are too good and they might lose this game just to be humbled. But I don't see it. So I'm going Colts.
And finally, the Green Bay Packers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers with Aaron Rodgers taking on his former team for the first time, I believe, in his career. Maybe. I'll have to verify that. The Green Bay Packers have never beaten the Steelers before the year 1971. And I think it will happen in 2025. The Packers will finally get a win in Pittsburgh. Packers 2.5-point favorite. They really, really played well last time they were on Sunday Night Football. And I think the matchup means a little bit more for this Packers side who wants to stay up in that NFC side. Be 5-1-1. I think they can absolutely run the ball on the Steelers team. Steelers haven't been really, I would say, the most outwardly impressive team out there. They've beaten some teams, but I wouldn't say they have beaten anybody fantastic outside of the Patriots who just wanted to gift them that game back early in the season. So give me Green Bay to win and maybe turn some heads in terms of maybe their legitimacy of what they are and could be as a contender.
Yeah, me too. I feel like Green Bay's going to take it. It's going to be a close game, though. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a close game, definitely.
All right. And that is your Benatti Blitz. I should have just faded that out. Oh, well. All right. Whoops. My bad. We're dealing with some equipment stuff today. So just don't mind that in terms of it. We will not pick the Monday night game. We'll save the Monday night game, the Commanders and the Chiefs, for our Monday show. So there you go. That is your Benatti Blitz. Space God Benatti Blitz. By the way, Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Of course, get tailgate ready for Fresno State games this year. We still have two more giveaways to give to you this season. Be sure to sign up at your local grocery outlets at Northwest Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Southeast Fresno, Sanger, and Kerman. Those locations, you can sign up by visiting them today for the Grocery Outlet Contest, the Tailgate Ready Contest, which will allow you to enter to win two tickets to the upcoming Fresno State football game and $100 towards your tailgate. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we wrap up Hour 1 next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Good to wrap up this hour here. Last night, I watched some basketball, and I watched some incredible basketball. Dare I say, maybe the best basketball we've seen so far this year out of one team? Who's to say? And I could be talking about both teams that won last night, the Warriors and the Thunder. By the way, Thunder winning in double overtime again. Back-to-back starts of double overtime games. That's got to be NBA history, right, Jorge? A team starting with two double overtime games to start their season. People are giving their best shot at the Thunder right now. I'm enjoying it. Did you see that?
They don't want to lose. They just don't want to lose. They refuse to lose.
The Pacers giving them all they got. And then, of course, the Warriors last night. Down 5 with about 2 minutes to go, Steph Curry said, hey, guys, stand up, crowd, I got you. And then from the logo, tying the game at 120 all, Draymond with the all-time defensive stop on Jokic at the end of regulation, send that game into overtime. Warriors take it from there. Jimmy Butler with a straightaway three, one of the big buckets. Al Horford, a couple massive threes from the corner. Warriors get the win. Steph Curry, vintage Steph Curry last night. I think 42 was the number for him last night. And Jorge, I am buying the hype of the Warriors right now. I think the Warriors could be one of the best teams in the West, if not one of the contenders in the West. I think people maybe had the Warriors at a 7 or 6 spot in the West. I firmly now think they're 2 or 3 right now, Jorge. Am I overreacting with 2 games into the season with the Warriors come back on the Nuggets and then their demolition of the Lakers on Tuesday? Am I overreacting to 2 games?
Yeah, I think you got to wait for a few more games just to see them. I understand how it feels right now because it's like the brand new season.
Those are 2 good teams they beat, though. Lakers and the Nuggets?
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying, yeah. you know, just give it a minute. Yeah. Let it settle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the clear picture.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm not thinking clearly. And I don't want to think clearly about this.
It's understandable because those 2 games that you're thinking like, oh, we're going to lose this or... Oh yeah. Man, yeah, there we go.
I think the Warriors are playing very good basketball right now. Jorge, I want to challenge you real quick. I want to test you real quick because you said something before the show. I think we could have some fun here real quick before the break.
Test me, okay?
Yeah, we're gonna go back sure. here. I'm not gonna do 50 states in 50 days on you, like we did in the summer. But you said you were surprised. You thought Andy Dalton was not in the league anymore.
Yeah, I thought he was retired.
Yeah, and I want to know who you think. Like, I'm gonna see if I can give you some teams, and can I give you the backup? Can you find out who the backup quarterback is of these teams? Like you may be surprised with some of the names.
Okay.
Of the backup quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. So, as you know, yes, Andy Dalton, the backup in Carolina. Do you know who the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers is right now?
Oh, backup quarterback.
Who's backing up Jordan Love right now?
Is it a rookie?
No, it's not a rookie.
It's a veteran.
It's a veteran. All these teams I'm going to say are veterans.
Okay.
They're not rookies out of college. No.
I'm
former starter in Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Is it Levis?
Will Levis? No, Will Levis is out for the year right now for the Titans. He just is injured. The guy before Levis, by the way.
I just remember Mariota. Oh. What am I? I forgot his name.
Yeah. Tip of your tongue. Survey says Malik Willis.
Malik Willis. Okay.
Malik Willis. All right. How about the New England Patriots? Who's backing up Drake May right now for the New England Patriots?
This is a veteran, right?
Veteran. Very much a veteran.
Was he in a West Coast team?
He was last year.
I can't think of a name.
He was on your team. Last year. He was the backup quarterback for the Niners last year.
Yeah.
Come on.
I can't remember his name.
Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs.
I was going to say.
Do you want to know the Patriots third stringer? The Patriots third stringer is Tommy DeVito, by the way.
I remember that.
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy Cutlets.
Do you want to know who the Jaguars backup quarterback is? Who's backing up Trevor Lawrence right now?
Oh, I know this. I saw him the other day. I was not ready for this.
Of course you are, but I'm having fun. Because these are fun names to go through. Second all-time in, I think, yards ever thrown in his first 16 games ever in National Football League
history. Second all-time?
Second all-time. Only behind Patrick Mahomes, he had the greatest 16-game start in his quarterback career.
I don't remember.
Nick Mullins.
Oh, yes. I just saw him against the Niners when they were all hugging and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. How about the Raiders? Who's backing up Geno Smith right now?
That's I have no idea.
Kenny Pickett.
Former Steeler.
All right. I maybe got one or two more. Who's backing up the Seattle Seahawks right now? Who's Sam Darnold's backup?
Huh. I don't know. Drew Locke.
He's back. Bonus round. Who's backing up Josh Allen right now for the Buffalo Bills?
I just saw him, but I can't remember. You see his face.
You see his face.
Yeah.
Do you know what team he played for?
He played for the Steelers.
Yes, for a little bit. Yes, yeah, you're correct.
He played for.
That wasn't his original team, though, right?
No. Oh my God. Did he play for the Jets?
He did not play for the Jets. No.
Or the Bears.
He did play for the Bears.
Yeah. It's Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky. You're correct. You're correct. I'm looking through some others here. Denver Broncos. Jared Stidham is the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Who's the backup to the Rams?
To the Rams? Oh, that's easy. Jimmy G. Come on. That's an easy one. Who's the backup for the Colts? It's not Anthony Richardson. He's hurt. Oh, this is one I don't even know. Yeah, no, this is a rookie. Never mind. Riley Leonard.
From where?
I think Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I know who that is. Yeah. Hey, he destroyed USC last year.
Exactly. This is a good one. Let me see if I can find who's the Cowboys backup quarterback.
What's his name? It's
10 seconds.
It's the one that used to be a Niner, right?
Used to be a Patriot.
He used to be a Patriot.
Throws the hardest football in the history of humanity. Joe Milton III. No, Joe Milton III. Joe Milton III. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Paul Metters is next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live here on this Friday, 4 o'clock hour, final hour of our show before we send it out for our Friday Night Lights. We're heading out to Collegian Stadium for a fantastic matchup between Central East and Clovis. We'll dive into all that right now. I don't got a minute to waste with our next guest who is joining me now in studio. Paul Metters is with me here. Lovely Friday afternoon. Paul, great to have you on this fantastic Friday, the week before Halloween. Got the decorations out. It's good to get into the spooky feeling of it all. And final 2 weeks of the regular season. Paul, it's great to be here.
Well, yeah, great to be here. Can't wait to talk about high school football. But if you're in education, if you're an educator, I think most schools out there are doing their Red Ribbon Week next week, leading up to October 31st, which is a crazy day. So Red Ribbon Week drives us absolutely nuts. We dress up every day.
Yep.
The kids are in hypo mode. It's hard to get things done. You get home and you're exhausted. And then, of course, October 31st falls on a Friday. We're going to be broadcasting games. So it's going to be a wild and wacky week for a lot of kids out there and educators and even parents, because kids will come home and say, hey, Dad, we got to do mismatch day, or hey, Mom, can you go buy this? Because I need to dress up as a teacher or something like that. So that's what I have to look forward to next week.
Well, all the kids jacked up on the candy by Friday too.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. They're like sneaking it in their desk and like taking bites when I'm not looking and all this stuff.
Great. We'll get into all that great stuff as we roll along. But we're a week before that, and we are diving into the high school football side of things tonight. Of course, big game tonight. Before we get into that, we got four results last night in the Central section. I'll go over them quickly for y'all. Shafter beating Chavez last night, 56-0. Rigetti 49-7 over Pioneer Valley. Redwood beating LD 61-14. And how about this result, Paul? Edison, the Tigers of Edison, win by a point, 29-28 over Justin Garza. Edison in the win column for the first time this year. What a win for the Tigers.
Good win for the Tigers, right? They did have a win that was, right, that was forfeited, but their first win on the record in, what, more than a year and a half?
Yeah, hard to believe for some people who know the history of Edison. So good on the kids to find a way to win last night for them. So it's good. It's good to have that experience for it as well. But we go into this Friday, and, Paul, there's a lot of moving. There's a lot of shaking in terms of how things are shaping up, in terms of what head-to-head means in terms of the playoff seeding, what the 25% rule was meaning in terms of that. We had discussion a little earlier this week with Gabe, but you, of course, are diving into this as much as anybody is out there in terms of it. And exciting game tonight, of course, which means a lot. But, Paul, this time of year, 2 weeks left in the season, there is a lot still to be decided. Tell me about the final 2 weeks and how this determines the playoffs.
Well, it's, yeah, the last week of the regular season is the rivalry week. You got Clovis West and Clovis. You got Lemoore and Hanford. You got a lot of games that mean a lot of things, not only to the program, but, you know, seedings and all the things that come with that. So, you know, the weather's not telling us anything different, right? We haven't really hit that cold, see your breath weather yet that we're used to at this time of the football season. Even what, next week, I think it's going to be 79 degrees. Crazy, wild stuff. But yeah, this is the nitty gritty, and this is the time of year that you start to see, you know, where the seedings might be, who wants to be a league champion. We do so much talk, Phil, and I'm super guilty of this, of thinking about playoffs and seedings, but forget that league championships mean a lot to a lot of schools, right? If you're a league champion, if you go 5-0 in league, that's something you can hang your hat on forever. Even if you don't do well in the playoffs, you're like, hey, we went 5-0 in league. We whipped our league rivals. So those things still mean a lot to schools.
Certainly. And of course, a lot of it can be on the line in terms of what we're going to be seeing in game action like tonight, and including our game, which will be a 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff between you, me, and Pat Hill, will be back on the airwaves. Excited to get back into the booth. And Paul, we know this is going to mean a lot for these two teams in terms of the track, in terms of what it could be determined. Of course, there's an outside chance. A potential three-way tie could be out there in terms of how this will play out. It has to have a certain set of things to fall that certain way. I would say all but essentially Central East will clinch the track tonight. Pseudo clinch the track tonight with a win. That's what's at stake for them. Clovis, of course, could have the inside track going there. A lot on the line in tonight's game. I think this is one we've had circled pretty much the entire year.
And Clovis and Central East have been, you know, 1-2, Central East being one for me the entire year. You know, Clovis had that weird game at Frontier. That's their only loss on the season. You know, kind of looking back on it, there were some things that, you know, were kind of out of their control. They didn't have a full squad, whatnot, right? So no excuses, but that is their one loss. And Clovis has looked really, really good in the track. And obviously Central East has as well, especially those first two games. That last week game against Clovis West, talking about Central East, that was a really, really good football game. So I think if you are looking ahead, you know, the winner of this game, if you're Central East, you're in a good spot because you're taking on Buchanan on a Thursday. But if let's say Clovis wins and that three-way tie you're thinking of, let's say Clovis wins tonight, that's no gimme next week,
no,
right?
Clovis against West, Clovis West. That's how they played against Central.
Absolutely.
Last week, right?
Absolutely. So that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities. But tonight's game is something that you think of 1-2 in the college ranks. This has that vibe to it. I know that Cal High Sports is going to be there as well. I don't know if you read that. That's their one game that they're coming down to check out in the Central Valley. So I expect a great football game, and I expect a lot of people there.
Well, the eyeballs, especially with, you think of premier matchups, you just think of the names, you think of the faces, you think of the poster it could be between these two teams, right, in terms of it, and the makeup of it, right, the quarterbacks. Gabe talked about it in his story this week from KMPH, you know, both quarterbacks feel like they're the best in the Central section, and this game could actually allow that an argument to be over and say, hey, whoever wins is the best quarterback in the Central section. I find that an interesting dynamic with Dipple versus Rose in this one. And I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup just in terms of the quarterback position.
Absolutely. The stats are fairly similar. Dipple, if you look at it, actually has the better, quote unquote, stats with about 300 more passing yards. The completion percentage, Phil, exactly the same, 67%, 26 touchdown passes for Dipple, and Rose is at 22, but only the one interception, which we love as well. So, right, I mean, that's what you want to be. If you're the quarterback, if you're the face of the team, if you're a dude, you think you're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you should think that way, right? You think, hey, well, let's settle on the field, but hey, I want to be the best player on the field at that moment. And right, we see that in the NFL. You know, there's that fine line between cockiness and being just super confident, right? And we see that blurred sometimes. But when you walk in the field, when you're out there throwing, you know, your warm-up passes, you want to look like a dude. And then when you want to perform on the field.
What's the matchup you're looking forward to most? If you had to say positional rank, you know, the wide receivers versus DBs in this game, or the line versus the D lines, and we've seen both of these teams and know where their strengths could be. Clovis, of course, could pass rush you, and make things dynamic in that sense. Brandon Smith is gone off like crazy sometimes on the ground when it comes to what he's capable of. But, you know, Carlos Young is featured on ESPN with his moss-like ability sometimes on the outside. So, Paul, there's so many ways to look at this game in terms of where you could see elite football tonight.
Well, it is going to be elite football. There's Division I players all over the field. One thing I'm interested in, Phil, is Brandon Smith, how Clovis is going to try to corral him, try to control what he can do with the football. We've seen him escape a little bit on some pass routes. He's dangerous in that area as well. I'm interested to see how Clovis's linebackers fill the hole. We've seen Brandon Smith break that first line, right? That first line of defense, and then just juke.
Well, we've seen his counterpart, Caruso, play that linebacker.
Exactly. Right? Caruso leads the team in tackles this year. For Clovis High.
So literally we'll have the running backs against each other. Smith's on the linebacking against Caruso.
Exactly.
And Caruso against Smith on the other side.
Right. We might see them hit each other on both sides of the football. How rare is that,
That's going to be interesting, right?
Right. Caruso tried to take down Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith tried to take down Caruso, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just fascinating, right? So there are a lot of eyeballs on that. For me, if we stick with the defense, Clovis has only given up an average of 6 points a game. Mm-hmm. Central on the other side, 24.5 points a game, right? I know in the non-league games, it's been a little bit of a difference as far as the level of competition. That's something to think about, right? And I mean, you know, they gave up all those touchdowns last week, talking about Central East to Clovis West.
Yeah.
Right? That's something we're definitely going to look for. Secondary for Clovis is a big matchup I'm looking at as well. Bayon Harris, I mean, he's 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
He goes up and just his range of motion is incredible. EJ Morgan, you know, put him in a slot spot. Carlos Young, he's going to be matching up. You know, he's licking his chops, right? He's like, hey, I'm tired of hearing about these Central East guys. I want to show what I can do against
elite
guys.
See where Israel Briggs is going to set up as well.
We'll see where Israel Briggs is. We line him up a lot of times at the tight end position. Mm-hmm. They go too tight set. So there's going to be some chess matches going on between Wilkins and Biggs. It could be athletes on athletes. It's just shaping up to be a really, really fun football game.
I think it really comes down to a game like this. The mistakes, right, Paul? It's the pre-snap penalties, the who puts themselves in some situations.
We've seen Clovis High do a couple dumb penalties, right? Again, they're high school kids. And we've seen a few from Central, but – yeah, the big penalties, the personal foul stuff, you got to put that stuff away, right? Yeah. Those penalties are big. Can't have any of those.
And where a turnover may pop up in this game tonight is maybe the determining factor as well.
Yeah.
So fascinating one over at Collegian. We'll have that one 6:30 pregame. Other games tonight, let's quick hit them in terms of it. We mentioned Clovis West. They are trying to stay in that conversation. They have Clovis North tonight. Clovis North having a tough time in the track as they entered it now. I think three losses in a row, right, for Clovis North, including a loss to Buchanan. So the luster of the Broncos has really dipped off here. Clovis West feels primed to at least get ahead of them tonight. But what do you make of that matchup?
Yeah, Clovis Wes, their offense is really clicking. J.J. Howard looked really good last week without one of the top receivers in the central section, R.J. Jefferson. They're hoping he can come back from his injury during the playoffs. But hey, I thought, man, Clovis West, they're going to be hurting the rest of the season without their top guy. But no, I mean, they put up a lot of points against Central East last week. Yeah, you know, I am worried about Clovis North. Mm-hmm. Right, we saw what they were able to do. 5-0 in non-league.
At least the Frontier win looked pretty good, though, right? With the playoff seeding, is that going to be determining because of factor that in for me?
Yeah, so if Clovis North, let's just say they don't win a track game the rest of the year. Let's say they go 0-5.
If they beat Clovis East next week or something.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's within a couple of points that Clovis North would have to be ahead of Frontier. Mm-hmm. If you look at the high school ratings, Clovis North is still number four.
Yeah.
They're still four.
Exactly.
Central East, Clovis High, Clovis West, and then there's Clovis North, and then Frontier.
Yeah.
So that's what the last 2 weeks are for, Phil, right?
Right.
Let the computers do the work after that.
Exactly. How about Buchanan at Clovis East? Buchanan beating Clovis North last week. Are the Bears in that conversation to get another win and maybe disrupt some things? And maybe the Bears could be that team that sits in the top four in the track potentially the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the season started, what's Buchanan going to look like? We thought they might be a little offensively challenged, and they haven't put up tons of points this year. It's their defense that's the key. Beat Clovis North last week 30-20. I could see Buchanan winning this game, to be honest.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised. The game is at La Monica. Clovis East, their season hasn't gone as well as they thought, especially after the first couple games and holding, you know, Grant, right?
Yeah.
To the last couple minutes in that one. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if Buchanan beats East tonight.
Got a good one for you here. I'm interested in this one. How about backs against the wall Liberty of Bakersfield hosting Garces tonight? And Liberty needs that three wins, right?
Yeah,
and they have two left. So I tonight could be challenging in terms of that. And then a do or die game at the end of the year to make the playoffs is certainly on the table for this Liberty Bakersfield team. I find that the psychology of a game like this tonight interesting for the Liberty Patriots.
And a couple years ago, Garces was down in the dumps, and Liberty was on top of not only Central Section, but on top of the Bakersfield area. I think Garces wins this game, if I'm being honest. And the final game, though, is unfortunately for Stockdale. It's, you know, they're having a super bad, horrible, no good year. So they'll get in. They'll beat Stockdale in that one. So they'll get those three wins. But
they'll be in that 1A is probably that Liberty.
Yeah. They'll be
despite
in that
1A. How crazy the strength of the schedule has been for the Liberty Patriots side.
It looked really good after those first five games, right?
How about Tulare Union at Dinuba tonight? Tulare's an interest. We've seen the highs of Tulare Union. We've potentially seen some of the issues sometimes at Tulare Union. Dinuba is such a interesting, dangerous team, it seems like. They always seem to catch some teams off guard. What do you make of that one tonight?
I think Tulare's playing a little angry right now.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 73 points against Mission Oak. Mission Oak's not having a good season.
Yeah.
I could see... Again, I grew up in Dinuba, right? And it pains me a little bit to say this, but I could see Tulare putting up 55 points and Dinuba scoring about 21. So, I think Tulare in the last two games are going to be ramping it up a bit. And
for sure.
Yeah, they're playing angry.
Any danger for Bakersfield Christian tonight at 6-2 Independence? That undefeated record on the line, on the road?
I think a little bit.
Yeah?
I don't think they're going to lose, but Coach Gola... who coached, did a good job wherever he's been, at Bakersfield High, had that program humming. He's at Independence now. I don't think Bakersfield Christian is going to be challenged that much. I could see like a 30-7, 30-14 type of game. But, I don't see Bakersfield Christian losing.
How about let's go to the CMAC here. Sanger is at Madera. Sanger seems like they're in the driver's seat, right? Although they kind of let Edison come back in their game last week in terms of it. This certainly would lead Sanger to probably be in the driver's seat moving forward for the CMAC if they can beat Madera here. What do you make of Sanger at Madera?
3-0 Sanger. Madera 1-2. After winning that first game, they lose to Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial.
Yeah.
you know, Madera's given up a lot of points defensively. We've seen what Sanger has done. We won that great overtime game that we were able to call. I think Sanger continues to roll. Madera's got a young team. Mm-hmm. You know, their freshman running back's amazing. That their quarterback is a sophomore. So I think Sanger, they're just tough right now. They're not as good as a team as they've been the last couple years, in my opinion. But I think Sanger beats Madera.
Bullard scoring 72 points in their last two games since they only scored 7 the two games before that. Is Bullard ramping up here to the playoffs? What do you make of the Knights?
They're fully healthy.
Yeah,
and their quarterback.
They got Memorial tonight, by the way.
And they got Memorial, which is surprised me a bit in the last couple of days. Put up a ton of points. I don't know if you got Memorial's point totals the last three games. Check that out, Phil. It's good stuff. But yeah, Bullard's fully healthy. They were very limited offensively what they could do with Tyler being hurt with his foot.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of points in tonight's game. What's Memorial got?
35 against Garza in the loss. 35 on Edison, and then last week they won 50-46 over Madera in a crazy shootout. So this is a big game for Memorial because if you win tonight for Memorial, you're set up for a CMAC, I think, title matchup with Sanger out of Sanger next week.
And right now, with the some rough drafts of what this playoff seedings might be like, they're going to be in that Division 1A, talking about San Joaquin Memorial. So they're slotted right now as the 7 seed, which might be the worst seed, right? Because I think the 1 is going to get a bye.
Yeah.
I mean, they can move up, right? What if they beat Sanger? What if they win the CMAC? You never know. They could get bumped up to a 5 or 4 seed.
Right. Last one I got for you here. Reedley is at Kingsburg. We saw that Kingsburg team just absolutely grind it out against Kerman and get a massive win for their season against them. But we mentioned it's up and down sometimes with the Kingsburg Vikings. And Reedley, we know what danger they have in terms of their quarterback position. I would imagine that's going to be a much different team than what they faced against Kerman. What do you anticipate with Reedley and Kingsburg tonight?
Kingsburg's defense is really, really good.
Yeah.
They shut out Sanger. They played that really good game against Kerman. Got a little bit of help with Kerman slipping up a bit with a couple untimely penalties, moving them back. But hey, hats off to Kingsburg. Yeah, their offense, they're not explosive. They're doing just enough to win football games. They went for it on a 2-point conversion after cutting the score against CVC to 21-20, wasn't able to convert. So they very easily, with a yard here, could have won that football game. But yeah, I think it's Kingsburg, and then they got the final game against Selma. So they might be clicking at the right time.
One last one for you. Washington Union at CVC. I think that's the last big one I got, unless you want to touch on Golden West. And
check out Orosi's playing somebody good.
Yeah, Orosi, let me look for it.
Okay.
Go back to it, yeah.
Yeah. So what game did you mention before that?
We had
CVC.
CVC and Washington Union at CVC.
So last week, Emmanuel destroyed CVC, 37-0. And Washington Union, right, and Kingsburg had a one touchdown game. Washington Union is one of those teams, they could put up 35, 42 points. Easily. CVC, a little limited offensively. They do have two really good running backs that Emmanuel just was able to corral. So, yeah, CVC needs that win. They're at two wins, aren't they?
They need a third.
They need a third. Yeah. And what, they've been to 7 straight Central Section Championship games over 3 different divisions, I believe. But, yeah, this CVC needs a win. This tonight would go a long way.
Orosi and Woodlake.
There it is.
There it is. That's the other
7-1
one.
7-1 against 6-2?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a good one. That's going to be a good one, too. How about a little 5-3 Dos Palos versus 5-3 Fireball? I'm throwing that out there, too.
Homecoming for Dos Palos.
Yeah, there you go. So a lot of good ones tonight. Paul will be keeping an eye on the whole scoreboard out there for you. Before I let you go, World Series starts in about 30 minutes. I know you're a Dodger fan, so I'm not going to ask you to predict. I already know who you're picking to win. But how do you see this series going against the Toronto Blue Jays?
Blue Jays have home field advantage. They got George Springer, who's still a
the
bad
Dodgers
word around my house.
Menace, 2017 menace for the Dodgers.
Yeah. One thing, a couple things concern me, but one thing, Phil, and I think I heard you hit on it a bit. The Dodgers starting pitchers have been phenomenal playoffs. No secret. We've seen them be able to blow away hitters almost on command. Hey, you know, we know this curveball is coming from Snell and somebody's going to swing through it. He's Glasnow, 96 on the paint, right? He's going to work. Otani doing what he does. However, if you look at the stats, Toronto puts the ball in play. They got those pesky hitters that these pitches that the Dodgers have been throwing certain hitters in certain situations, they kind of know what result is going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
There's going to be some of those pitches that are going to be fouled off. You might see a little frustration, might hunt the pitch that they want. It's an easy stat to realize, oh, yeah, of course that makes sense. But the more balls you put in play, the better chance it's going to fall. Whether a blooper, a bleeder, chopper off the plate, those things are magnified.
You saw how many times the Mariners would go up in games and Toronto would rally and consistently make a – move the train, basically. Move the chain in terms of how they their offense rolls. That is going to be a tough team, especially with a bullpen we know has to get some outs here for the Dodgers and struggle to do so, and things could compartmentalize. I think the Dodgers have a tough matchup against this Blue Jays team.
You picked the Blue Jays, didn't you, Phil?
Seven games.
Oh, in seven?
In seven.
Did Horace say in six?
He said in six. I have George Springer as your MVP, just to twist the knife a little.
Oh, my gosh.
Bit.
Oh, my God.
That'd be your worst nightmare.
It would be. As long as it's not Altuve.
Last I checked, he is not a Toronto Blue Jay.
I held back.
We'll cut off the mic there.
Said something inappropriate.
Paul, we'll see you at Collegian. Pat Hill should be a lot of fun tonight. This is a premier matchup. Paul, can't wait for it. See you in the...
I'm excited.
Yep.
Should be a fun one.
See you at 6:30 over there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue discussing sports world here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here on this Friday, big thanks to Paul Metters for joining us in the last break. Of course, you can listen to myself, Paul, and Pat Hill tonight for a Friday Night Lights broadcast over at Collegiate Stadium. Can't wait to bring it to you. Should be a lot of fun from Central East and Clovis tonight. Can't wait for it, so... looking forward to that. So did you see Fresno State put out a game day timeline? Jorge, did you see they put out a game day timeline for people to know how early they can start tailgating?
I think you saw that, yeah. I saw that.
I love Stephen Hicks. I love watching what Stephen Hicks tweets.
It's a morning thing, right? So it's a brunch.
Yeah.
I really like a...
Do you want to guess... 6:30 in the morning is when the tailgate lots open. Jorge, you want to guess what time sunrise is?
It was like 7:05 today.
7:15 tomorrow, yeah. Jorge.
7:10, yeah.
Stephen Hicks said, for those of you tailgating in the dark, please send videos into ABC 30 tailgate lots open 45 minutes before sunrise.
It's interesting that people will be there early just so they can get a good spot and start setting up their things. And a lot of people like to do, you know, get some coffee and go down there. And, I mean, I don't think we had a game this early since probably we played Connecticut.
UConn, when it was 11 a.m., but it wasn't like the same because it was kind of the pseudo-COVID rules still, remember?
Yeah, not a lot of people were in there.
Yeah, so it wasn't totally, you know, and also it was...
Then we had tailgates.
It was 1,000,005 degrees that day as well.
It was still September, I think.
I think people's cleats were melting on the football field, all that kind of stuff. We were trying to just kill Jim Mora, head coach for UConn.
He beat us the next year, right?
They did. I think we beat them, but then they beat us at UConn. Yeah, when Hainer was
hurt. I remember Remigio had a great game.
Hayner got hurt in USC, and then the Bulldogs lost like three straight before he came back and beat San Diego.
That's right. Yes.
Can the Bulldogs beat San Diego Saturday?
I believe so.
Is that your fandom talking, or is that logic?
No, not just logic.
What is the logical reason this team can beat San Diego State tomorrow?
I think their defense has shown that they could play against top opponents.
The Bulldogs' defense has stepped up for the most part this season.
Yes, and when the offense is clicking, the offense is doing good. They're running the ball and they're passing it, you know, to when everything's going right with the offense, they're a top offense.
Mm-hmm.
However, when that fails, it's one of the worst offenses I've seen in the year so far.
It's not consistent. And in football, you're seeking consistency all throughout the season. That is what you're looking for. That is what you strive for. You strive for everything to be the same. You want the same result in terms of just your ability to just find ways to find success. And success breeds based off of consistency. And to me, the team, for the most part, the defense had been consistent in its performance until 2 weeks ago against Colorado State. It was an anomaly.
I honestly think they got tired.
They got tired?
Because they were out there so many times. And I feel like they're just...
I wouldn't give them tired last week, 2 weeks ago, just because it was a 70-something yard touchdown that ripped it off from the first drive for Colorado State. So I'm not gonna let them go with that excuse in terms.
Well, I'm saying they were coming back until the fourth quarter, and that's when I feel like they were just not having it then.
Comebacks are hard to.
Energy
wise, the energy of, you know, garnering a comeback in any sort of form or fashion. Think about it. Think about the mental sharpness you have to get to say, I have to overcome all of these mistakes to make sure I can at least get to a position just to simply tie the game, not just win the game. The idea of just tying it was like good enough for them. So I do like what I heard. I've been sitting here thinking about how I want to predict this game, how I want to go with this game. And everything in my body tells me San Diego State will win on Saturday. I need to be proven wrong. I need to see things I have not seen yet before this season for the Bulldogs to win this football game. Number one thing is obviously a turnover-free football game. The Bulldogs have not had a turnover-free football game all year. You cannot win football games. You cannot be a consistent winning football team. Frankly, Jorge, feels lucky we're 5-2 with how much we've turned the ball over per game, right? So that's the number one thing to me. The number two thing to me is finding a lead and consistent balance in the offense with that lead to begin the game as well. And stepping on the throat of this opponent when it needs to be a time to step on the throat of this opponent. San Diego State's going to run on tempo. It's going to be frustrating. I would say it's going to be a lot of adjusting. The San Diego State Aztecs like to play with speed in terms of the amount of plays they want to run. There could be simply the opening drive could be as frustrating as one can be for the Bulldogs defense because it's playing catch up in terms of it. They have to be mentally sharp for 60 minutes of football because the sheer amount of plays that San Diego State wants to run could compartmentalize on itself. How do you combat, Jorge, against fast offenses, offenses that want to run up tempo? You simply slow the game down. What's the only way you can slow the game down? Is to go on long 8-minute drives with your offense, plod down the field, four-yard play, give your defense every benefit of the doubt to stay off the field. And that's what we need out of this offense and what we need to see. You know what offense I need to see for Saturday for that to be the case? I need to see what we saw against the second half of Georgia Southern. Second half of Georgia Southern is as good as the offense it looked all year. And it needs to be consistent drive after drive after drive, run after run after run, play action pass after play action pass, EJ scrambling into good situations ahead of the chains, no penalties. You know, it's drive killer penalties as well. So that's the formula, Jorge. That is the formula. The Bulldogs shorten the game, keep play, keep away, long sustained drives on offense, and that's how you win.
You got to get that running game going.
Absolutely. But Jackson said it best. You can't get the running game going when teams are keying in on it. You have to show that you have a threat at quarterback that can be something that you actually have to pay attention to. And teams have now realized after the last couple weeks here, Jorge, that they're not threatened by the quarterback right now. EJ has to show that he can be a threat at the quarterback position. EJ Warner has to show he has to be a threat. He has to be shown that he can be taken seriously right now. And so what the first three or four drives for him are going to be the crucial ones to, you know, to me, the future of if he's going to keep playing for this Bulldog team this year, at least at a consistent starting basis. I think it's absolutely critical that he shows something out there in terms of a threat of throwing the ball down and around the field, not getting in his own head, and making the plays that got him here and gave the vote of confidence from the coaching staff that, hey, we want you here at this program. There's a reason they brought him in. We need to see that reason on Saturday.
Yeah, I feel like he could be this game could be the game that puts him on the map, or the game that, you know, ends up getting a bench.
It feels like do or die, right? Crazy as 5-2 sounds, and I'm talking about a quarterback hot seat. As crazy as it seems, you're not digging yourself out of this hole unless you can show that you have to keep defenses honest. And to me, Fresno State is not making defenses feel honest right now in terms of how they're playing them. Got to show something out there on Saturday. Got to.
I do believe that if things go right, I think he's going to have a good game. I think if everything's clicking with this offense and they're on the same page on like they were last.
Are they healthier? That's the question. Can they be healthier? Yeah. I think they are. The bye week at least gives you that. Coach Jen seems to put a lot of people on notice, a lot of players on notice of, hey, earn your job still. We're still earning our jobs here. You gotta prove that you deserve time and snaps on this football field. Everybody does. And I think the Bulldogs feel like they deserve to be a team in this conversation. And the great thing about this football game is that you have a prime opportunity to turn the narrative around this game tomorrow night. At 4:15, when you finish that game, the narrative could simply change to, oh, look at the Bulldogs. And then you have that opportunity to play that team up north. Up in Boise, on the blue. And change the narrative and say, hey, Fresno State is the team to beat in the Mountain West. In the last true season of the Mountain West before we all say goodbye and send ourselves off into the sunset and head on over to the Pac-12. That'd be a sweet title to win. It's all laid on the line tomorrow night. I can't wait. Because I really think I can be proven wrong here, Jorge. Now, my logical says San Diego State will win 26-21. And that's my prediction. That is my official on-air prediction. San Diego State will win. But I cannot wait to be proven wrong on Saturday. I cannot wait to see if this Bulldog team actually has what it takes to do what it's been doing, which is win tight football games and make the plays when it needs to make in terms of their defensive and offensive side. Jorge, what's your prediction tomorrow? What's your score?
I think the Bulldogs will win 28-24. It's a close. It's gonna be a close game, but I feel like that Bulldogs at home. Maybe this new time will give them an extra boost. But I do feel like if the Fresno State.
Hello.
if the Fresno State Bulldogs click on all, you know, fire at all cylinders, it's a better team than San Diego State.
6:30 a.m., folks. Get those tailgates rolling early. Can't wait to see the videos when I wake up tomorrow. 11 a.m., get in the gates. Come on, folks. This team needs you, by the way. This team needs you. Need you in the stands. Need you there. It's a banner day tomorrow. Jeff Tedford's getting celebrated. That man's only given everything to this program. Nearly killed him. Go show his respect. Bulldogs tomorrow, 12:30. Can't wait. All right, let's take a break. We wrap up the show next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, wrapping up our show here. Before we get to what are we watching for the weekend, let's do a little schedule check for you here. Of course, over on 790 right now, Dodgers Blue Jays pregame, first pitch 5 o'clock from Toronto, game one, Dodgers Blue Jays tonight over on 1430 right here, 6:30 pregame, Friday Night Lights, Clovis at Central East. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. at Collegiant Stadium. Should be a fun one with Paul Metters, Pat Hill, and myself, Phil Benatti, on the call tonight on 1430. Saturday, we'll have Central Valley Sports Report. Paul Metters from 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports. Then we'll have the World Series Game 2, which is a 4 p.m. pregame with a 5 p.m. first pitch on 1430. Sunday, 9 a.m., Niners and Texans pregame show for the 49ers as they get set to kick off at 10 a.m. between them and Houston. In the afternoon, evening side, 5 p.m., Packers and Steelers Sunday night football. Over on 790 on Sunday, we'll have Sharks at Wild, 2:30 p.m. pregame. Then following that game on 790, we'll have the Lakers and the Kings. The Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Sacramento Kings. On Monday, we'll have Sports on Bulldog with Tony Deef 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5 p.m. before we send it to Monday Night Football, Commanders versus Chiefs at 5 p.m. on 1430. Over on 790, we'll have World Series Game 3 from Los Angeles starting at 4 p.m. Pregame, we'll have 5 p.m. first pitch. And then Tuesday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog with Tony Deef 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 4. Yes, 4 o'clock as the World Series will cut our show off early on 1430. We'll have Dodgers-Blue Jays Game 4, 4 p.m. pregame, 5 p.m. first pitch. Sharks and Kings over on 790 that evening. All right, just you and I, Jorge, to talk about what we're watching over the weekend. Lots of things to watch for over the weekend. What are you watching over the weekend? We got to get your mic on.
There we go. Besides, you know, some football early in the morning.
Yeah.
Once I get off my duties that I'm doing, you know, I'm gonna watch a little football, a little soccer, mm-hmm. and probably some F1 racing.
Some Formula One. Where are they at right now?
Last week they were here in Texas at the what's it called, COTA, the mm-hmm. Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah.
Austin, and this week they're in Mexico. Okay. So, gotta watch that.
You got a lot of soccer on Sunday, so a little MLS.
Yeah, MLS. Playoffs are off the hook.
Yeah.
They're gonna be battling out, see who moves on and who doesn't. So,
Inter Miami plays tonight. They're the only game tonight.
Yeah.
In terms of the playoffs.
They wanted to give Messi its own day.
Of course, it's Messi all day. You know what I'm going to watch? How about UCLA in Indiana, if I can get an opportunity to watch that at 9 a.m. before I get over to the football game. I'm going to pay attention to that one for sure. Can Coach Skipper beat Coach Cignetti? Knock off undefeated Indiana. Be a good one. How about Ole Miss at Oklahoma, 9 a.m. On Saturday? All these 9 a.m. games, I'm going to be like, yeah, can't wait to watch. Oh, wait, I got Fresno State. What am I watching in the evening? When I go?
I forgot to ask Paul if he's going to make it to the game.
We'll see.
No,
how about Michigan at Michigan State Saturday night?
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah?
Houston, I feel like Michigan's going to take it, though.
Houston at Arizona. How about Texas A&M at LSU at 4:30 following our game?
Who does Texas play?
Texas, the Longhorns. Who do they got?
Georgia? I think it was Georgia.
They're at Mississippi State.
Oh.
Home of the Bulldogs. They got the Cowboys. Or the Cowbells.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Jorge, is that the worst stadium to ever visit? Is Davis Wade Stadium in Starkville, Mississippi, when every like 100,000 people are just banging cowbells?
I've never been to it, but it looks...
Sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It doesn't look good either. It looks weird.
Anytime I put that game on the television, I have to mute it in terms of that. What else do we got? Any crazy ones? We only got one 7:15 game tomorrow, Colorado at Utah. They are banishing the late night games, Jorge, it seems like.
Yeah.
We're not getting the late nights in terms of the college football. I think they're afraid of the tests in terms of it. I don't know. We'll see. Three games tonight. Charlotte's hosting North Texas right now. Cal is at West Virginia. And all-important Mountain West, Boise State at Nevada tomorrow as well. You know what else I'm watching over the weekend, Jorge? The World Series. The World Series.
You too.
I'm excited. Excited about the World Series in terms of that as well.
No Sunday game, though. No Sunday game.
No Sunday game. No, it's all football. All football Sunday. Feel good about your Niners?
Yep.
Yeah?
I think so. I think they're going to do well.
Starting Kendrick Bourne again in my fantasy league because I just consistently have to keep benching Pearsall for Kendrick Bourne. I'm in a rough spot this week, Jorge. My undefeated 7-0 team, Hakuna Nakua, has been my team name all year because of Puka Nakua.
Yeah.
No Puka this week. No Jackson Smith and Jigba this week. I am struggle busting for any points this week in terms of it. No Laporta, Sam Laporta.
It's a rough one.
It's rough out in these fantasy streets. But this is my hot take hill I die on. Bye weeks don't matter, Jorge. I just punt 1 week, and then I have a good team the rest of the season. Right? So this is my punt week.
Okay.
This is my week where I just say, I'm going to lose.
I say that every week. This is my punt week.
This is my week where I'm like, all right, give me the loss. You know?
I'll take the L.
I'll take the L, folks. Congrats. Congrats to the Minot Hot Tots, who I'm playing this week. Congrats on them on their victory. All right, Jorge. Can't wait for tonight. I think it's going to be a really fun game tonight.
Did I tell you like 2 weeks ago I got beat by the unmanaged team?
No.
There's a team in my league that it's unmanaged. Like no, the
you're not in danger of like finishing last, right, Jorge?
Probably.
Are you?
It's been a weird, like all my players have been doing good, and then 1 week is just like horrible, and then I got a losing streak after that, and I'm gonna win this because nobody look at all these players, they're like not even being managed, and I lost to them.
You lost to them, Jorge. Sorry that happened to you. I'm very sorry that's happened to you. Hopefully you can bounce back and find your winning ways again.
It's the life of a fantasy player. You live and you die with the
you live and you die
by the week.
You live and die. All right, Jorge. Good show.
Great show.
We'll see you tomorrow, or we'll see you on Monday for Behind the Bench. Tune in tonight, 6:30 pregame. Friday Night Lights coming up soon.